Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello there, my very good friends, and I can already tell this is going to be one of those videos where you creatively call me a paid shill in the comment section because, well, AEW's in a good place right now, and I know that because they've sold over 60,000 seats for Wembley Stadium for All in August. That is a ridiculous number for a company holding its first show in Europe, let alone the UK, and a massive objective success. It goes to show, for all the rating stagnations here and the creative mishaps there, this promotion is still performing very well in the metrics that matter. It is more successful than ever before in those metrics that matter, in fact. And sometimes all those mean, nasty things that people say online are just that. Mean, nasty things that people say online and don't have a great deal of substance. This is a company that from day one has been defying the critics, and today we're going to take a look at that. I'm Andy from What Culture Wrestling, and here are 10 times AEW made the critics look like idiots. Criticism number 10. What is Jeff Jarrett doing here? Being the absolute best is what Jeff Jarrett is doing here. Look, Jeff Jarrett is 55 years old and one of the most misunderstood people in pro wrestling history. That was pretty evident when you go back and revisit the reaction to his debut in the company last year, when he showed up as the Last Outlaw in this kind of on-screen slash behind-the-scenes hybrid role. There was a lot of cynicism surrounding Mr. Jarrett, and to be fair, he's been involved in some interesting things in the past, hello Global Force Gold, etc. However, since coming in, Jarrett has been nothing but a credit to the company, and he's done a phenomenal job as this kind of on-screen carny in his role, kind of scheming his way to title shot after title shot. It's been enriching the mid-card in AEW for ages. The act with Jay Lethal, Sonjay Dutt, and Satnam Singh is a riot. It's a perfect mid-card heel gimmick type stable thing that you can use to elevate the baby faces on your show over and over and over again. The formula isn't even coming close to wearing thin, and Double J so far in AEW has been a complete success. Number 9. Nobody cares about this wrestler. Go back a couple of months ago. Do you remember that? Kenny Omega, El Hijo del Vikingo, Tony Khan makes a big announcement about it, calls it a dream match. He builds it up in advance, all that stuff. And then you go on Twitter and you see certain bad faith criticisms, and it's a familiar story. It's, why should I care? I have no idea who Vikingo is. This will never draw. It'll never work. What is AEW doing? Please, won't somebody think of the casual fan? Well, guess what? That turned out to be absolute pish, because not only was Kenny Omega versus Vikingo a match worthy of the dream match tag, but it was also one of the highest drawing Dynamite segments of the entire year. But Kenny versus Vikingo is merely the tip of the iceberg. This happens every single time AEW dares book something cool for its fans involving a wrestler that isn't already in the immediate American mainstream. People did this for Kazuchika Okada, for goodness sake. And yet, when AEW does book people from the immediate American mainstream, the same people who shout, I don't know who this is, suddenly are concerned with the amount of ex-WWE wrestlers that the company is using. It's almost like trolls are pretty stupid. Number 8. AEW will die. How many times have we heard this old chestnut? I mean, it comes out whenever the slightest thing in the universe that could be perceived as negative towards AEW happens. Maybe it's a bit of backstage controversy. Maybe a rating is down by 0.02, or maybe one of these big matches just didn't quite live up to expectations. Doesn't matter how small it is, something like that happens, and we get AEW's done. It's over. It'll never succeed. It's going to fall. Everyone's going to lose their jobs. Doomsday is here. AEW is dead. And of course, it was Jim Cornette who, in late 2019, prophesied that by April 2020, AEW would be gone. That narrative has since continued, and it remains in the hearts and minds and Twitter fingers of thousands of people around the world. Well, it's no longer April 2020. AEW is not only still here, but in May 2023, with Wembley and everything else, it's actually more prosperous than ever before. So maybe we should think twice before posting this nonsense online. Number 7, AEW doesn't tell stories. I think that this criticism, perhaps more than any others on the list, is just a convenient crutch for people to lean on when they don't really have that much of an argument and are trying to find a different way of saying, I don't like AEW. Which, by the way, is absolutely fine. You don't have to like AEW. In fact, I have plenty of my own constructive criticisms to offer the show that kind of annoy me a little bit every single week in between all the good stuff as well. But just be real about it. Don't make up silly nonsense like AEW doesn't tell stories. It's objectively false. And when you say a thing like that, all you're doing is telling the people who see this take that you don't watch the show. But I mean, come on, just look at something like the rise of Hangman Page, or MJF versus CM Punk, or CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston, or MJF versus Bryan Danielson, or a bunch of other stuff you could list off. Even something that hasn't been so critically acclaimed. Take Ricky Starks versus Chris Jericho, or Juice Robinson, for example. These are stories. You cannot watch a 15-minute segment of this show without at least one story being referenced or furthered. They are at the heart of every single thing AEW does. Just because the match and the matches are sometimes a little bit too flippy for some audiences' taste, or maybe a little bit too bloody or whatever, doesn't mean that they aren't story driven. If anything, maybe AEW could do with dialing back on these things, given how common things like promo trains are in the year of our Lord, I guess, 2023. It's a mad statement. It always has been, and it will continue to be that way unless AEW just gets rid of everyone and doesn't even hold matches anymore. I don't know. Number 6. These wrestlers will never get over. Orange Cassidy is probably the best example to use here because it continues today, and that's mental. Whenever this guy steps out onto the stage, he's getting a monster pop, and that level of investment only continues when he gets in the ring and starts working his unique gimmick and style. The sloth thing, the slacker, whatever you want to call it, is hugely over. Listen to the crowds. That's what over means. You don't have to like these wrestlers to admit they're over, and you shouldn't let your distaste towards them or the things you don't like about them get in the way of acknowledging that they are over. Darby Allin's another good example. He was too small, too weird, and Kenny Omega, well, he'll never work as a top-level star on American television. He's never going to get over as world champion. There's a bunch of other ones as well, including less obvious figures like Christian Cage, one of the most charismatic American / Canadian wrestlers of all time, who we were told by people who said he was never going to get over that his first few months in AEW were dry and boring. He headlined a pay-per-view, for goodness sake. And despite all these criticisms, what happens invariably when these people come out and do their thing? They get a thunderous reaction. Be it cheers when they're on the babyface side, or boos when they're heels. Do you know what that is? Overness.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Number 5, Chris Jericho is finished. You'd think by now that people would have learned not to bet against pro wrestling's ultimate master of reinvention and call out things like, ah, the man is done, he's over, he's finished, he's never gonna offer anything again. Yet despite this happening every single time, every single reinvention, every Le Champion, Painmaker, Jericho Appreciation Society, Inner Circle, whatever, we still get towards the end of a run when a little bit of steam is starting to fade away and he's not quite being as effective as he was, we still get people saying Chris Jericho is finished. And then what does he do? Invariably, he reinvents himself, he gets over again, and he becomes a huge boon to the product all the same. Yes, there are valid criticisms to be made about certain feuds he's had. Ricky Starks, Eddie Kingston, I think these storylines stand out as ones that went on a little bit too long and ultimately did a little bit of harm for the people Jericho was feuding with. Those are fair points, but to call the man finished, how many times does he have to prove that this is just an untenable take? I don't think this man will ever truly be finished until the day he retires. And even then, he'll probably still find ways of getting back over. The man is a genius when it comes to crowd manipulation and crowd reactions and all of that stuff. And we should probably all stop being a bit silly when he doesn't quite hit the mark at the end of a run. Number 4, Hangman Page will never get over. We've already discovered this topic a little bit, but I think Hangman kind of deserves his own entry because he's pretty much AEW's main character at this point. And if AEW ever ends up letting go of Hangman, well, I think it's probably going to feel a little bit like The Office did when Steve Carell left. There'll still be some good stuff, but the peak just won't be there, and it won't feel quite as special as it did before, maybe even just a little bit empty. Hangman Page will never get over has turned out to be a completely preposterous take. This audience loves Hanger. He is over through the roof, sometimes getting more incredible reactions than standard bigger names on the roster. The guy is not quite homegrown, obviously. He was in Ring of Honor before and New Japan and a bunch of other great places as well. But he is somebody that AEW has invested in and it has paid off spectacularly. Number 3, NXT will beat them in the ratings. And I mean... one week. They beat them in the ratings literally 1 week out of like 80. Good one. Number 2, why are they doing this WWE thing? Look, there's definitely a bunch of diet WWE stuff on AEW television at the moment. We've got some promo trains here, some invisible walls and invisible cameras over there. But if AEW's run so far has taught us anything, the promotion will eventually learn its lesson and move on from them, hopefully never to do them again. Or at least be a bit more sparing with them. But this is a general talking point that flares back up whenever AEW does something WWE adjacent as well. For example, if AEW books a contract signing, you're going to get a bunch of criticism online going, ha, bet that contract signing's going to end originally in someone going through a table. When Hangman Page went off on paternity leave, people were like, oh, well, I guess that's the Kenny Omega match over, not happening. And then when they booked a casket match for Revolution 2023, it was all pfft. Casket matches are boring. None of these things ended up happening, and in the case of the last one, Christian Cage ended up entering one of the best heel performances of his entire career, and think of the ground that covers. AEW is not WWE, and with a few small exceptions, it's never going to be. And number 1, why are they pushing Satnam Singh? To be fair, right, Satnam Singh's debut for AEW in April 2022 wasn't it, and I think the criticism was earned. It was a little bit too much, too fast, all of that stuff. the lights out introduction at the end of the show for someone who people legitimately didn't know, not people we pretend to not know, like Kazuchika Okada, was not the right move. And when he appeared on screen, all 70 feet of him towering up in the ring, the perception was AEW was doing a WWE thing, and that they were pushing a green giant for being a green giant, really. But AEW has since proven itself right in the way they push Satnam Singh. In fact, the way they push him is pretty similar to the way they push Danhausen. Satnam is a secondary character used sparingly and only ever in the right context. And speaking of context, he's really good in a bunch of different ones. He can be in the ring, just being this giant dude throwing people around and standing there like a brick wall that you can't get past. Or he can fart around in the Briscoe Farm segment, holding chickens and just being really wholesome and fun. The positives are accentuated and the negatives are hidden. That's literally pro wrestling booking 101. And guys, Satnam Singh rules. Get on the bandwagon right now or get ran over by it. But anyway, that's it. We're done here. That's my list of 10 times AEW made the critics look like idiots. If you've got any more, down in the comments section, let us know. Let's get a conversation going. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and ring the bell for notifications as well. Then you can follow us on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE and myself at Andy H. Murray. The H stands for hey, bye. I didn't think of that one. See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.